travel at speeds pushing 200 miles per hour. The very best drivers in the world putting their lives on the line every week. It's time to get the lowdown on this week's contenders, plus a look at the key driver matchups. Right now, on Gone Racing.
Welcome back into another edition of Gone Racing. I'm Jeff Motley alongside my buddy Brendan Gaughan. And Brendan, we get to break down a little road course racing from Daytona, and we stay in the state of Florida, go to Miami Homestead Speedway this week. And I mean, 2 weeks in a row now, we've seen a couple of really big long shots pull off wins with Christopher Bell, an 80-1 long shot winning in Daytona.
I'm still dancing to the Gone Racing theme song. I like it.
Okay.
No, right. I like
your moves, I guess.
we've talked about getting your money's worth, and we talked early in the season about how good or bad, you know, guys are. And you start with a road course and Daytona, which, as you love to say, is a crapshoot, and you end up with a 60-plus winner, an 80-plus winner, and we could see this trend continue. I think we might even see a few more first-time winners, Jeff. I mean, this could be a tough year for the playoffs. I mean, if you're looking way down the road, this could be a tough year for playoffs.
Well, you know, and you say way down the road, but when you really think about it, we're talking about a 26-race regular season. So
not that far down the road.
It can run out pretty quickly. I mean, you're talking about August, and it's going to be over. And you're right. We're looking at a situation. Last year, we had 10 different winners before the playoffs started. We had 13 total different winners last year in the series. And now with Michael McDowell and Christopher Bell already putting down wins, I mean, there's certainly that possibility that we hit those 15 different winners. Because the way the rules are, so people know the rules, the top 15 winners plus the points champion if they don't win a race.
Really?
I know.
Really?
I'm just telling you what the rule says.
Really?
Now, we know that's not going to happen. But so this top 16 guys and win. So you could go to a tiebreaker.
No, I definitely look at it going, you know, I think this year, we've always talked every year, could we have a situation where we go to the cutoff race this year being Daytona? Could happen there, another surprise winner. That could you have more than 16 people win a race? I think this year, Jeff, I can make an argument that you might see more than 16 people.
Oh, I think there's definitely the possibility that that could happen. Now, I don't think it will. I think at some point, where, you know, last year we saw Denny Hamlin get on a roll and win a
nine
group
races.
Of
races. Or something like that.
We saw Kevin Harvick get on a roll, win a few races, although he didn't do quite as well last year as the year before.
And we didn't see Kyle Busch get on a roll and win races.
Well,
so there's a group of races there.
Right, and you had a lot of guys that just didn't win a lot of races, but they were able to pick one off here or there. Like Logano didn't win a ton of races, but you could see any of those guys, Logano, Keselowski, Truex, all those guys are capable of reeling off six or seven wins. And look, I still think Chase Elliott could win every road course race. I mean, look, anybody wants to argue he wasn't the best car there on Sunday, and I still would like to see that rule changed on throwing that caution flag for the weather. I think let the teams make that decision, not NASCAR.
I have argued that since they started letting us race in the rain. You race in the rain. It's up to the team when to put your tire on, when to not put it on. Don't mandate that we can or cannot. Let the race happen. If it starts to rain, guess what? Some guys want to stay out, stay out. Some guys want to come in. I agree. But back to the 16 winners. You know, I was looking at the numbers, Jeff, and last year we had 13 different winners. Okay. We're three away. You've had two now. So let's say everybody last year wins, and you add the two guys that won. Now we're at 15. All right, well, who didn't race last year? Okay, well, Kyle Larson. I think Kyle Larson's going to win. There's number 16. Do you think Matt DiBenedetto is going to win? There's number 17. Can Tyler Reddick get a win this year? Can we see another Tyler, you know, another first-time winner? Yes, I think we can get Tyler Reddick. There's 17.
Chase Briscoe.
There's 18. I think, now, like you said, Kyle Busch missed a big chunk of races that we think he was supposed to be winning last year. I'm saying that there's a possibility.
Hey, Bubba Wallace could win at Daytona, Talladega. I mean, he's certainly capable there.
He was dang good at the 500. So I mean, there is an opportunity this year that we could possibly have our first year that the 16 race playoff bubble does not come down to points, or it will come down to points, but it comes down to 16 plus winners, and a winning driver gets knocked. A Michael McDowell, who won the Daytona 500, could get knocked out of the playoffs because too many people won.
Well, and I think when you see the number of cars that were running in contention at Daytona in that top 10, you know, that could be, I mean, and there's a lot of guys. We're going to run Talladega, we're going to run Daytona again. So there's a lot of guys that could get in there.
No, I agree wholeheartedly that this could be the first year that we struggle to see we see a winner possibly not make the playoffs. I think that, and I think that's cool for NASCAR. I think that's great for our sport.
No, I think that'd be fantastic for the sport if that were to happen. I mean, I think it would make it really exciting to see that happen. So
yep.
You're listening to Gone Racing right now, though. Jeff Motley, Brendan Gaughan. We've kind of talked a little bit about the championship battle, even though we're only two races in. But it is starting to take shape.
Nope, it is.
But we need to break down a little bit of the road course race. And I know I touched on it just a moment ago about, you know, NASCAR threw the caution for weather. But the rest of the race, the teams get to make that decision. And I think that, look, Chase Elliott wins that race without that caution flag.
Well, I'm not going to say he wins that race without the caution flag. Let's just start that racing happens. But I completely agree with you and disagree with NASCAR on their theory of if the rain comes, NASCAR designates, okay, you can go to wets. No. No other race series in the world does that. Give me a straight through. It's my choice when to throw to come in and put wets on, or it's my choice to come in and put dries on. If I want to try to think I'm better than everybody and hold out there, I hold out. Don't give me a mandatory caution to say, hey, you can or can't.
Well,
I just like that.
And I know we're piling on here since you and I are on the same side on this, but I mean, think about this. If on lap five, it starts raining and NASCAR throws that caution and lets you come in and make that decision, it's the only one they throw. So if they're going to let you run the rest of the race deciding when to put your, because you know, in Florida, that track could be dry and wet three different times during the race.
Well, I won the Road America race where they had the same thing where they started the race with the rain weather. So that was, I disagree with that. It bums me out. But, you know, you said it cost Chase Elliott the race. But what it did do was showcase Christopher Bell.
Yeah, and I think we shouldn't lose sight of that. You know, Christopher Bell, I mean,
We're talking so much about Chase Elliott.
Yeah.
Christopher Bell did a hell of a job.
26 years old, and, you know, Toyota put so much into Christopher Bell, moved him over into that ride, replacing Eric Jones. And then, look, Eric Jones did pretty good in that ride. I mean, he won a few races there.
You know, I saw a cool stat about Christopher Bell, too, Jeff. In all three series that Christopher Bell has raced, he raced in the Truck Series his second year. His second race, won his first race. In Xfinity Series, his second year, his second race, won his first. And in Cup Series, his second year, his second race.
You know,
race.
If you had that stat
last week, I would have won
80. Somebody won an 80-to-1 long shot. I mean, look at the other numbers there. Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin, not a big surprise that they came in
the top three. Plus 400, that's a good number there.
Plus 400, Denny was plus 325 for top three, but a plus 500 to win his group. And he won his group, and somebody picked him.
Who did that? Who is that?
Mr. Gaughan.
Who is that?
That's you. Okay. Oh, and by the way.
Who's got a big lead in the league?
Well, okay. We'll talk about that in the last segment.
Who tried to not give me my win last week?
Well, okay. Nobody knows what that means. That's inside baseball stuff now. So anyway. But hey, who did you say last week? You know, he's too old. His best road racing days are behind him. I wouldn't pick him. Kurt Busch. Now, not only did he finish fourth. And you talked him down on this show last week. Not only did he finish fourth, he had one of the most impressive lawn mowing adventures I think I've ever
seen. The most impressive thing he did was not dig the nose in and rip the nose off it. He was able to slide that thing through two sets of infields with pavement and infield again, not tear it off. And I talked to Kurt Busch this morning about other things, and I'm really glad. I hope he isn't listening to Gone Race It last week. But listen this week, Kurt, I was all on you. Good job.
I tell you, I was, you know, I almost sent him a text saying, boy, you had your elbows out on Sunday, didn't you?
But you look at that top 10, it goes along with what we've seen this season, and we've talked about it. A.J. Allmendinger.
He had to battle.
A.J. worked his tail off, and we were all high on him, but a top 10, absolutely. Michael McDowell, what did I say before the race? Michael McDowell will be in the top 10. If you could find Michael McDowell top 10, and the worst is...
And he blew the first turn.
Blew it right off the bat. So, Michael, I was furious at you.
He goes from the front row to like 30th in the first lap.
But how about this? Michael McDowell didn't win his group. I bet him to win his group.
That's because he was in the same group with Christopher Bell. Yeah.
So, but Ryan Preece, another great run. Alex Bowman at the very end on my fantasy show, a caller called in, and I hadn't even done research really on Alex Bowman. Didn't think much of him. Looked at his stats and went, holy cow, Alex Bowman could be really good. And he showed up with a top 10. And Kevin Harvick still, once again, why we said Kevin is consistent. I didn't think he'd win, but Kevin is at least consistent, a top 10 finish. So, you know, if you had the top 10 bet anywhere, there are some numbers there.
And the only guy we didn't mention who may have had the most adventurous day of everybody. I mean, Brad Keselowski, every time I looked up, I mean, he has to come in for an unscheduled pit stop, but lo and behold, the caution comes out, so he gets to be up in front.
Dude, he got luckier so many times.
At one point, I think Kurt had had enough of him and decided to move him out of the way and send him around. You know, it's just every time I looked up, and Keselowski was...
And the name not on the top 10 that you think is going to win all the remaining six races?
Chase Elliott. Who just, I mean...
Well, he had a hell of a save, though. That save
was unbelievable. Again, he protected his nose.
So I mean, it was good. That was good stuff there. I mean, it was a lot of good stuff happened last week, and I think it was a lot of fun. If you're a race fan, Jeff, we're talking about betting, but at the same time, we're race fans. And great start to the season. A lot of fun racing. A lot of great stuff for bettors to chomp on. A lot of good returns. I mean, a 400 and a 325 and a top three, an 80-to-1 shot winner, a 66-to-1 shot winner. You know, I think we've started the season off with a big bang for bettors.
Yeah, and there's no question we've done that. Now we're turning our attention to Homestead Miami Speedway. It's going to be the first of the intermediate tracks, a 1.5 mile. You know, this is going to be in 3 years, the third different date, basically. I mean, they were for so many years, it was the final race of the season in November. Last year, they were supposed to be earlier in the year anyway. We had the pandemic, messed everything up. They ended up racing in June. And now this race was supposed to be last week, but because they are not running Fontana, they added the road course at Daytona, moved Homestead back a week. So now we're running in March. And when you look down the list of race winners at Homestead, you see Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., Kevin Harvick. You even go all the way back, Tony Stewart and Carl Edwards. We don't see those big upset winners. But one thing you and I talked about off air, what's different about this race than all those other races?
And here's the deal. The biggest difference is those were the championship races. And I'm not saying that the cream always rises to the top, Jeff. So when you get to that last race, when it was the last race, those four guys were always kind of going to be there. Phoenix proved that. The four guys
proved that the other guys said, all right, we're going to let you guys settle
the championship. We'll let you settle it out a little
bit. Because remember, Greg Biffle, every year at Homestead,
was always
he'd go
there.
Win the race, and somebody else would finish second and win the championship.
But so I think that with Homestead, the unique track that it is has lent itself to the fact that a lot of things happen there, and I believe personally that without it being the last race where they don't give so much leeway to those four championship contenders, last year Denny Hamlin won the race. First time he'd won it at Homestead. So, hey, you know what? Guess what? That was a first-time winner at Homestead. Not a first-time winner. He's dominant in the series, but he'd never won there because it showed that I think people were giving away. So I think, you know, we've started the season with the two first-time winners. I do believe there's a guy that I'm going to talk about when we get into the odds of this race. We could see three in a row, Jeff, and I'm high on him.
I do not think we will see three in a row, but I will be curious to hear what your theory is on that. Now, let me ask you this too, Brendan. So for years and years and years, we would hear drivers, and I mean, we're going back probably into the 80s, 90s, 2000s. They would run the Daytona 500, and everybody would say, I'm looking forward to the season starting at Rockingham or at Atlanta. Like a lot of guys said, the season starts after the Daytona 500. Do you think that mentality now is carried into the season is starting at Homestead? Because we ran two races that, I mean, obviously Daytona, it's crazy too because you're down there for a whole week. And now you've been down in Daytona for over two weeks with the road course.
Normally we're there 2 weeks, but it was speed weeks with one race. Now it's...
And guys, I mean, remember, we went for so many years where there was two road courses on the schedule, Watkins Glen, Sonoma, and you didn't have to worry about a road course race until June. Well, now you throw one as the second race of the season. So you got guys who may have gotten in a big crash at Daytona, had something go wrong there.
Matt DiBenedetto had a bad race at the road course.
Ryan Blaney. Mm-hmm. You know, guys who were in the playoffs last year. So do you think there's some of these guys saying, I'm looking so forward to going to Miami Homestead and getting the season started?
Yes. If you listen to our friends at NASCAR Radio, I've listened to Matt DiBenedetto this week. I've listened to Ryan Blaney this week. I've listened to a number of drivers who have basically said, just that look, the season started with a wreck at Daytona on lap 14. That stunk. We went to the road course. Something happened. That stunk. Now the season begins. You know, now what we're used to seeing with NASCAR, the standard old school oval, here we come. And I think that many of them, and if you look at the point standings, I think it shows. Right now, you have Kyle Busch outside the top 16. You have Ryan Blaney outside the top 16. You have William Byron is like 33rd in points.
And you've got Corey LaJoy inside 12. The top 16. Yeah. You got Bubba Wallace inside the top 16.
You have Ricky Stenhouse Jr. in the top 16. You got Corey LaJoy in there. You've got Ryan Preece still hanging out up in there.
Heck, Ryan Preece is in the top 10.
That's what I'm saying. So I think that and he doesn't have a full ride for the season. Like Ryan Preece, you know, he's hoping he can stay there. But I think you have a lot of guys that need to be nervous that now the real racing begins. And I think you have a lot of guys that are sitting there going, oh, thank God, like our screen on VEASAN, you know, on the feed went down to 18th in points. But guess what? There's a guy in 33rd or 34th with William Byron. I don't foresee William Byron staying in the 30s. He's going to be moving up there. That's going to push somebody down.
Well, and look at one other little stat, if you can see our screen. We run two races. Only one guy
has
finished in the top five in both. Those Denny Hamlin.
There's your points. There's your point leader with no win. If he could stay the point leader, he would make the playoffs with no win.
Well, that's true, but I don't think Denny Hamlin's going to go win.
Denny
could probably snap that this week or next week.
Denny could snap it any week, and a lot of those guys can. But like I said, I have a guy that I'm circling him right now. Before we even go further, I'm circling that name, and I'm gonna like talk a lot about him in the next couple segments.
Well, do we want to get into the race odds now? We can talk about race odds now if you want.
We can delve into it a little bit if you want. I mean, we normally wait a little bit, but I mean, we could jump in and discuss a little.
We're gonna have a little bit of an extra bet this week too that we'll talk about a little bit later in the show. That's going to be interesting, which I think would be cool to do that on a weekly basis.
It's also on NASCAR Fantasy Live as one of their standard bonus points, so I like it.
So see, that's a tease to tell people they got to stick around later in the show to hear what we're talking about.
We're getting this TV thing down, guys. Look at it. This TV thing down.
It only took us 4 years.
We're teasing now. we're doing the, you know, we're getting this.
There we go. All right, so let's look at the odds to win the Dixie Vodka 400.
I won't talk about that because
That's a competitor. To City Light Shine. Okay, so Denny Hamlin, no big surprise.
I can throw my own out there. Ha! I'm in media.
No big surprise that Denny Hamlin comes in as a favorite at plus 500. I think maybe I'm a little surprised to see the number that high on a favorite. I thought Denny might be a plus 300 to win that race. Chase Elliott, who finished second at Homestead back in June, a plus 600 along with Kevin Harvick. Martin Truex Jr., plus 700. And Kyle Larson plus 800, and those are the only guys in single digits.
You know, and I said earlier, Denny hadn't won at Daytona, and I was wrong. He's won twice in the last 10 races, so that was my bad.
Oh, you mean Homestead?
I mean Homestead,
Oh, he's a three-time winner at Homestead.
Yeah, I know, I said that just talking very quickly, but if you look at those...
I thought it was rude to correct you on the air.
Really? Yeah. Really? Mm-hmm. Now he thinks it's rude to correct me? All the things he does to me on the show, and now he thinks it's rude?
I was just going to tell you once we turn the microphones off, and you can come back in the second segment and correct your
mistake. Oh, do it later. Got it. Yep. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you look at Denny Hamlin, 10 races, 8 top 10s. Kevin Harvick, 10 races, 9 top 10s. Kyle Busch, 10 races, 8 top 10s. There's a reason why, you know, Kyle Busch at 10-1, that's a hell of a bet right there. But remember, those numbers, those guys were predominantly in that championship four in a lot of those years.
Well, and that's why maybe we've got to throw some of those records out. You know, I think maybe you look at some of the performances they've done on other mile and a halfs early in the season. Maybe you look at a Las Vegas as a track that
can help you a little bit. Well, look, now he's trying to foreshadow again to take care of his stuff.
What?
Las
Come
Vegas.
On.
I got to get a Las Vegas Motor Speedway plug.
You know, you think I mean, you're wearing a South Point shirt, so you're certainly getting in a little
That plug also is your plug because it's at your track.
This is true.
See? We are getting this.
You know, we're turning into those two old guys on the Muppets that sit up in the balcony. What do they call those guys? I don't even remember what those guys' names are.
Yes,
two old guys.
We are. We are two old guys.
Karina might know who they are. You want to jump?
Are we allowed to talk about Muppets? Didn't they get canceled?
Who?
What canceled? Of course, we got the Muppets. No,
Muppets?
Wrong show.
I don't know.
Wrong show. Yep. But no, let's go back to odds real quick because Kyle Busch is 10-1. Kyle Larson is plus 800. That's one I like. But I'm going to get down to the guy I like, Jeff. Brad Kay, 13. Ryan Blaney, 16. Tyler Reddick, 22-1. And Christopher Bell, 28-1. These are two guys that I think you can see Christopher Bell back-to-back if you want the truth. But I like Tyler Reddick here. He's won, dominated this thing in trucks and Xfinity, finished third in the race last year. I think Tyler Reddick could really, really, really be somebody to watch at this race.
Well, you know, I think if we were to go a third straight week where we had a guy that comes in as more than a 20-1 favorite, would be pretty remarkable. But, you know, you were just mentioning those guys, but I mean, Alex Bowman's 33-1 who has proven that he can run well on these type of racetracks. Eric Almirola, Kurt Busch, who we know won in Las Vegas. He won in Kentucky the year before, these type tracks. Kurt Busch is 40-1. So I think there are some long shots out there that might be worth taking a strong look at.
No, I mean, even a Ryan Blaney at 16-1. I mean, the only problem I have with Ryan is we've always called him the opener, not the closer. And Ryan still has to prove to me that he can close. But Ryan Blaney does well at this type of place. I mean, even Matt DiBenedetto. Last year, Matt DiBenedetto's mile and a half program, if you're talking about looking at other mile and a halves, Matty D's mile and a half program for the Woods Brothers last year was eons above what his mile and a half program has been ever before. So Matty D could be someone to watch there.
Well, and at the risk of drawing your wrath about talking about Las Vegas again, he did finish second in both races in Las Vegas last year.
And had a chance,
would have won in the fall if there were five more laps left.
Yes.
Because his car was geared differently than Kurt's. So Kurt's car was great on the short run, and Kurt knew he could launch. And I remember when the race was over, they were down in the interview room, and they were actually talking about it, about the fact that they were geared differently. And Matt goes, I knew I needed about five more laps to get you. And Kurt said, I knew when I got that last caution that you couldn't get up to speed quite as quickly.
No, so. I mean, I think there's a lot of guys on there. You know, Cole Custer, 80-1, he won Kentucky, which notoriously was always very similar to Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Little differences now since repaves, but those are two guys that 80-1 shot. There's a lot of guys here, Jeff, that I think can be pretty darn good.
Well, and we talked about Chase Briscoe earlier. You know, he's an 80-1 guy who's running one of the Stewart Haas cars.
Bubba Wallace 60-1 with the Joe Gibbs stuff. I mean, I think we could see it, Jeff.
No, I agree. I agree, and I think I would not be surprised if this particular year we see 3 weeks in a row that we see somebody that's a long shot end up in victory lane. All right, we'll be back on Gone Racing. Talk top three. Welcome back into Gone Racing. Jeff Motley, Brendan Gaughan. We're breaking down the Dixie Vodka 400 at Homestead Miami Speedway coming up this Sunday. Brendan, we're moving on to the top threes. When you look at the numbers at the top three, you know, there's not quite as good a numbers on some of these guys at the top like we saw.
Better than last week.
It is better than last week. We had guys in the negative numbers last week. But Denny Hamlin comes in at the favorite for top three at a plus 140. Chase Elliott, Kevin Harvick, both at plus 175. Martin Truex Jr., plus 200. Kyle Larson, a plus 225. Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, plus 275. Brad Keselowski, plus 375. A guy that runs pretty well on mile and a half tracks, getting a pretty good number there. Ryan Blaney, plus 450. Then we see Tyler Reddick, plus 550. And other guys in single digits, Christopher Bell, William Byron at plus 700. And Alex Bowman at plus 800. Obviously, very similar order to what we see for odds to win the race, but a lot smaller numbers.
As always, but here's the thing. We go back to, if I'm high on a guy to win the race, well, then I'm also high on him to give me a top three, and I got better numbers. So a plus 550 for Tyler Reddick to get a top three, I think he can win. And Christopher Bell, same thing. So there's two guys right there. I really do like some of these top three numbers. I think there's guys you're going to see this year at these mile and a halfs, yours included, that you're going to see. I think the kids are starting to get it. So I think you're going to see William Byron's, Christopher Bell's, Alex Bowman's, you know, Matty D's, Chase Briscoe's. I think you're going to see a lot more. It's no longer, I think the days of us seeing Denny, Kevin, Joey, Martin every week, I don't think you're going to see that as much now. I think you're going to see a lot more mixture of these guys, and it makes it difficult for bettors.
No, I think you're exactly right. And, you know, it's been all the way back to Texas last November since we saw these guys on a mile and a half track. And, you know, we ran Martinsville and we ran Phoenix, and then we've run two races at Daytona on the big track and on the road course. So I think it'll be curious to see whose off-season program did what. And you know, and this year's a little bit odd because all these guys know that they're not even going to be using these cars again after this year. So you kind of wonder who made what kind of adjustments in the offseason.
Who actually spent some time engineering-wise to keep up with the trend? You know, what organization said, hey, I still want to spend money to make this car better?
Yeah, now we look at the double-digit guys. Eric Almirola, Kurt Busch, and Austin Dillon are 10-1. Bubba Wallace is 15-1. Matt DiBenedetto is 16-1. And we talked about Matty D, who had two second-place finishes in Vegas last year. Chase Briscoe and Cole Custer, 18-1. You like any of those double-digit guys?
I do. And you know, I'm not going to say that we're going to have Road Course Daytona, Daytona Speedway, 66-1ers, you know, jumping here that far. But I'm telling you, Matt DiBenedetto is primed and ready. Kurt Busch, like you've said so much of, he is very capable. He won the Vegas race. And I think Chase Briscoe, he may not be ready yet, but he is, the pump is being primed. So I think the Chase Briscoe will be there. I think Cole Custer ran well. Surprised us how well he ran on mile and a half. Remember last year when season started?
He got that win at Kentucky.
That's what I mean.
And made a heck of a move. I mean, it wasn't one of those deals where it was a fuel mileage race.
No.
Or the rain came and he happened to be in the lead.
And you know, we talked about Austin Dillon winning at Texas. So I do believe that a double-digit guy here will get us a solid top 10 or a solid top, could get us a top three. And I feel very solidly about that.
Well, we got a couple minutes left in this segment. So why don't we move on over to the driver head-to-heads. Not a lot of huge numbers
here. No, they're never huge numbers, but I like this week that there's a variety.
There's certainly a variety. The biggest number out there, I think, is Martin Truex Jr. at a plus 125 against Denny Hamlin's minus 145. That's a fairly big number. I wouldn't touch that one, I don't think. I mean, those two teammates
there. I don't
know.
I like Denny Hamlin, and we know that, but Martin Truex, didn't we call him the master of mile and a half for quite a long time? I mean, you know, Martin Truex Jr. is no slouch there. 10 races, got 7 top 10s, first, second, 12th in the last 4 races.
But didn't we decide that we weren't going to look back at that much Homestead history?
Decided that. I didn't decide that.
I thought that was your idea.
That was not my idea.
Well, let's look at a couple of the other numbers that we see where we see some plus lines. Truex also a plus 115 against Chase Elliott's minus 135, and Kyle Larson a plus 110 against Denny Hamlin at minus 130.
You know, and once again, giving Chase Elliott a lot of love, he's done well there. But I think that Martin Truex, a plus 115 over a Chase Elliott, who Martin Truex, a lot better stats to show here at Homestead. So there's a couple there. And even looking at, you know, there's one that's at the lines moved. Kevin Harvick is even now to Kyle Larson's minus 120. That's a move of the line. Harvick now is the underdog on that one.
Yeah, you know, one that I just kind of like that they put it up there, and I probably wouldn't bet it, but I like that minus 110 Chase Briscoe and Cole Custer. I just think it's kind of cool that we put Chase Briscoe and Cole Custer up there in a matchup.
Westgate likes to put at least a couple teammates in those every once in a while.
Yeah, it's always a lot of fun. Okay, that's it for segment two on Gone Racing. When Brendan and I come back, we're going to start talking about the group matchups and some interesting props. Welcome back into Gone Racing and our segment three. Jeff Motley alongside Brendan Gaughan. Brendan is grooving to our intro music over there. I think it's his favorite thing. I don't know if I will see you in a white spandex suit like John Travolta on Saturday Night Live or anything.
I had a three-piece that used to go to certain parties in Las Vegas that can't be named on the show.
If we get a picture of that, can we get that up on the screen now,
no,
one of these weeks?
No pictures of that. No pictures allowed.
All right. Well, we're here breaking down the Dixie Vodka 400 this week at Miami Homestead Speedway. We've talked about odds to win. We've talked about odds to finish in the top three and driver head-to-heads. But our favorites are the groups. We just love the groups because you get better numbers. And you only really have to beat three other guys. So let's take a look right away. We'll look at Group A. I just love the fact, one thing, and before we get into all these groups, I do want to say, there's some great numbers out there this week. There's some real numbers that if you get the guys that are the long shots. But let's just start in Group A. Denny Hamlin, the favorite at plus 240. Chase Elliott, who finished second here in June at plus 255. Kyle Larson, who, it seems like the odds makers are all in on Kyle Larson although I still, you know, want to see him shake the rust off in a stock car. I mean, he's had a couple of races, but this is going to be a little bit different for him this week, I think, at plus 270. And then Martin Truex Jr. is the long shot in that group, and it's a good number. It's a plus 325.
And that, I mean, look, it's a good number, but, you know, good numbers, you know, if you put me up against, you know, Joey Logano and Denny Hamlin at Homestead, you can give me all the number you want.
Yeah, but
you're talking Martin Truex Jr.
I was going to say, Brendan, I mean, I love you.
No, that's
I love you, but
I was trying to make the point myself that Martin Truex Jr.
You were struggling.
You know what I mean?
You were struggling.
With one win and six top tens in the last 10 races, like I said, a first, second, 12th. Well, hold on. I mean, you're talking about Martin Truex Jr. getting that sort of number? That's pretty darn impressive. I mean,
It's almost as enticing as taking Denny Hamlin at plus 500 on the road course last week, isn't it? Yeah.
Worked for me.
I mean, what do you think? You like Truex there?
I do. I like Truex. I mean, look, Denny Hamlin plus 240 is still a great number. Chase, Kyle Larson, you know, like you said, you think Kyle Larson needs a little time, so all right. But Martin Truex at plus 325, who he can beat all three of those guys on a mile and a half any day of the week, I can't knock that number.
No, I think it's a great number. All right, let's look at Group B. Favorite here is Kevin Harvick at plus 250, Kyle Busch plus 270, can't talk today. And then the two Penske teammates, Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano, both coming in at plus 280. Not a huge discrepancy there, and four guys who I think all four of them have won at Homestead Miami Speedway.
They have, but Kyle Busch still hasn't had a Kyle Busch. We haven't seen the resurgence yet, and I'm going to specify yet because we will see it. But if you're going off of last year's numbers and last year's stats, Kevin Harvick is plus 250. Not plus 195, not plus 200, not 205. He's plus 250 on a four-man horse race. I like that Harvick number.
You know, it's almost like when Harvick didn't make it to the final race last year at Phoenix and still in the points, that people have kind of forgotten about him. And
I've forgotten about him.
I think don't sleep on Kevin Harvick.
No. I mean, he's plus 175 to get a top three, but he's a plus 250 to beat the four-man horse race. I'd rather take this four-man horse race than the top three bet, and I think you can do some damage with that.
Yeah, I think that's certainly interesting. All right, looking at Group C, now here's the group that we've got the largest discrepancy top to bottom that we have. Ryan Blaney, overwhelming plus 200. And it should be pointed out that because he's had such bad luck in the two Daytona races, Ryan Blaney is starting pretty far back in the field, probably. He's probably outside the top 20, I think, for the starting lineup. Alex Bowman and Tyler Reddick, who you're a big fan of, coming in at plus 265. And William Byron, a plus 400. That's a pretty big number on a guy who I think we think can be competitive.
Well, look, he finished ninth in the race last year there. And as we said, during the year, William got better and better and better. He is way back in points right now. Are they in desperation mode to go win? Absolutely not. But are they in, we're going to run well and be solid? Yes. Ryan Blaney, once again, opener versus closer. Alex Bowman, six races, only one top 10 there in six races. I like Tyler Reddick at plus 265. I think that Tyler, with one data point in Cup, but all the data points he's had in the past, as long as he doesn't fence it with him and Kyle Larson, they both are known that they can put that thing in the fence fairly easily. But I think that the 265 right there for Reddick for me would be a gift.
Well, you know, and I know he's only plus 200, but you just have to think that this is a week for Ryan Blaney to
make a comeback.
Get something going.
Blaney can't have that. I mean, the old flip a coin 10 times, you know, but Ryan Blaney's had such a bad start to the season. It's tough to say he's going to continue, but he's only got one top 10 in six races. But it was a third place last year in this race.
All right, let's take a look at Group D. Eric Almirola and Christopher Bell at plus 225. I'll say the other. Austin Dillon's a plus 315 and Kurt Busch plus 345. You know, Kurt's been pretty good on mile and a half tracks. I think that's a big number. Dillon had a win at Texas last year. I think Christopher Bell obviously riding the momentum of his win last week, but you really can't compare the road course at Daytona to Homestead Miami Speedway. Eric Almirola is a guy that, you know, he went on a roll last year during the season. You know, once we came back, where it seemed like every week he was in contention.
Well, and man, I look at that Christopher Bell number, and I like Christopher Bell. I think that he's riding a lot of emotion, and you know how I feel about momentum and emotion. And I think that Christopher Bell, you know, we said the same thing about Eric Jones. Remember, Eric Jones was Toyota's baby, and he ain't Toyota's baby no more. It's Christopher Bell. Can he keep this Can he keep the run going? I don't see why he couldn't. Almirola, he's got three top tens there in nine races. So, I mean, Almirola is no slouch there, but fifth place in this race last year, and he has been getting better and better and better. So that's a tough group for me. That group right there, I'm looking at and calling that. You know how every week I take one group and kind of exit out? That's my X'd out group right there. I like too many guys there.
I don't think I'll be X'ing that one out.
All right. Go to town.
All right. Let's.
How'd it work for you last week?
Actually, that's the one that group's the only thing I won last week.
You got to win?
The Kurt Busch. I had Kurt Busch to win.
Oh, I didn't know he got to win.
Because you were giving me such a hard time telling me he wasn't up on the wheel, but not like you did. And then group. Now let's move on to Group E here. Bubba Wallace, the favorite, plus 230. Matt DiBenedetto, plus 260. And Chase Briscoe and Cole Custer both at plus 300. I'm not totally feeling Bubba there.
You know, the tough part is that Matt DiBenedetto, do you go off of his stats or do you go off of what you think he was able to turn last year into on the mile and a half? That's my big fear on that one is I do like Matt DiBenedetto. Bubba ran good last weekend. So we know what he did at the 500. He actually ran good last weekend and then had some problems. But Cole Custer with the win, Chase Briscoe, I don't know.
That one could be a tough one there. And then our last one, our Ron Flatter group, Christopher Buescher, is in it.
He's back
week.
In it again.
Newman plus 215, a plus 275 on Stenhouse, plus 300 on McDowell,
I'm
plus 305 on Buescher.
I'm back on my man Buescher on that one.
I think it could be a very interesting group there. It's kind of nice when you're looking at Group F. All right, when we come back on Gone Racing, we have a little different prop for you this week, and you'll get our picks, and you'll hear Brendan say how good he is. There's a lot of ways to watch us here on VSiN. VSiN.com/subscribe. Sign up. Watch your VSiN shows. The VSiN network is also available on Fubo and Sling. Our Gone Racing broadcast times, and they're all Pacific times, Thursday night at 10 p.m., Fridays at 3 a.m. Saturday, you get to see us three times, 6 a.m., 6 p.m., and 9 p.m., and Sunday. We're on at midnight, 3 a.m., and 6 a.m. before the races get started on Sunday. If you're on a web browser or on your computer or phone, try VSiN's new audio player right now. You can listen to shows from earlier in the day and jump back and forth in 60-second increments in case you miss a best bet. Can't talk today. That alliteration just kills me, Brendan. Mobile, listen to the 24/7 live stream and our recorded shows on your schedule with our new audio player available for free on the VSiN app on iPhone or Android devices. iHeartMedia, we've partnered with iHeartMedia to provide multiple options for listening to VSiN. You can find our iHeartRadio channel and find all the ways to connect to VSiN with iHeartMedia. Live streams. Currently, VSiN is available on StreamLive via TuneIn. Voice-enabled devices. VSiN is available for voice-enabled smart speakers via the iHeart and TuneIn apps. Just say, Alexa, play the Sports Betting Network on iHeartRadio. And you can listen in your car. There are multiple options to access VSiN in your car. Access our stream through the web browser in most cars. Pair your phone with Bluetooth to listen directly from the VSiN app and through popular apps such as iHeart and TuneIn with direct integration on most vehicle audio systems. Brendan, it's hard not to find us right now. We are out there everywhere. It's Jeff Motley, Brendan Gaughan, back on Gone Racing.
And you know what I get mad about with VSiN?
What's that?
Because they had it on the screen a second ago. They do make smarter bettors. Like, we made a mistake putting the studio here, and I know I get in trouble every time I say it, but we're not supposed to make smarter bettors. I'm the sports book.
Well, no, the smarter bettors, that's your problem. It's good for the rest of us, but it's your problem. You mean you won't be buying dinner?
I don't think Dad thought this through. I don't think Dad, when he met with Musburger, I don't think he thought this through.
Really. I think he likes getting people into the casino. I know that. So now we have a surprise prop bet for you we want to talk about this week.
I like
it. But guess what, Brendan? There's actually one thing that we didn't talk about in the pre-show. Little something else that we need to pop up on the screen. I think Karina's got something she wants to show. There is Brendan.
Oh,
Brendan,
that's the
Gaughan,
secrets that don't make friends.
Brendan Gaughan in his three-piece leisure suit, a la John Travolta in Saturday Night
Live.
Well,
I look slim, so I'll take it. I like it. I'm skinny enough looking. I'll take it. Dig.
That, Yeah, that's definitely your head, but that's definitely not your body. Yeah, yeah. If you guys could see this right now, it really it's Brennan.
It's worth
head,
the VSiN stream.
But it's not his body. So okay.
Well, you're saying that's not me? That looked like me. I think it was me.
It looked like your face.
I think it was me. I look like svelte.
All right, but here's our interesting prop. We finally have one with the odds for the race teams to win.
Yep.
And the overwhelming favorite right now we've got is Joe Gibbs Racing. And obviously, I mean, you're sitting there with Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., and Christopher Bell, who just won last week. So it's no surprise that they're the favorite at plus 175. And then you got Hendrick Motorsports with a bevy of young drivers, kind of the opposite. They've got Bowman, they've got Byron, and they've got Elliott, and they've got Larson out there all on the Hendrick team. They're plus 265. And then Team Penske, plus 400. And, you know, that really, there's three really good guys over there. I wonder if Matt DiBenedetto would get caught.
No, that's what that's Wood Brothers.
He doesn't. That is Wood Brothers. Didn't count. So you got Blaney, you got Logano, and you got Keselowski over there. Stuart Haas Racing. I guess right now you really feel like you've got one main car over there with Kevin Harvick, because I don't think Custer, Almirola, and
Briscoe
and Briscoe. I don't necessarily know that those guys. I mean, they could win, but that's probably the reason that's a plus 450. Richard Childress Racing is a 14-1. Chip Ganassi, 30-1. Roush Fenway, 66-1. And JTG Daugherty at 100-1. The field is 15-1. What do you think about that?
Well, look, they also did this on NASCAR Fantasy Live for bonus points, which I like this. And I do like this prop bet, especially when you look at this. You got to first take into consideration, okay, Joe Gibbs Racing, four teams. Hendrick Motorsports, four teams. Penske Racing, three teams. Stuart Haas, four teams. So you actually have, you know, a team with three bullets is plus 400, but then you have a team behind them is plus 450 with four. So you got to look at that. And then why is it such a big disparity after that? Richard Childress is only two race teams. You know, and even though we have affiliates, like you said, Matt DiBenedetto is Woods Brothers, not Penske. Bubba Wallace is Denny Hamlin, Michael Jordan, not Joe Gibbs. So you can't remember, some of those guys don't count into their allotment. But Chip Ganassi is only two race teams. So I think that this is fun. I do like Richard Childress, though, at 14-1 because I like that Tyler Reddick still. But I do like that Joe Gibbs at plus 175. The four horses they got for that, Jeff. Goodness gracious. I mean, that's odds on, like you said.
There's a reason they should be the favorite.
Stuart
Haas
is plus 450 because they got Kevin Harvick and the rest. At Joe Gibbs Racing, you say, which horse do you want this week?
Exactly. No, I agree with you there. They should be the favorites, but that doesn't mean they're going to win. That's why it's called gambling, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, it's picks time. But
hey, let's talk about last week.
Yeah, let's talk about last week.
I'm
hosting this week. It might be a 30-second increment, but okay, last week, Brendan got Denny Hamlin to win Group A.
And by the way,
plus 500.
Jeff Motley tried to send me the odds first, everybody, and he had me as an 0-for-5. And I'm going to start treating him like I treat Michael Gaughan scoring a Hearts game at home for a weekend, because you don't trust the man. I'm starting to not trust you on keeping score.
That's the first error I've made in
that
4 years.
That we found.
Okay. All right. I got one right with Kurt Busch last week in Group D, because you were talking him down. I talked him up. I like Kurt Busch again this week, by the way. That'll come up. Pit crew had another rough week. You know, Ann made the picks the first week. Karina made the picks, I think, the second week. I don't know. She's shaking her head. I'm not sure that she. So I'm not sure.
They won't let her go on. She won't put herself on camera. Right, so we can't touch the button.
Karina's in witness protection. She won't let us put her on camera. But they've had two rough weeks. I'm seeing a bounce back for them this week, and that's why.
What's the scores though, Jeff? What's the total scores on that? My eyesight. I'm getting older. What's those total
season
scores?
Season total. Brendan's won $7.25. I'm down minus 6.7, and the pit crew is waiting for their first scratch.
Yeah, just checking. I want to make sure. Okay. I had those.
Brendan, can I point out something?
Yeah.
This is week. We're going into week three.
Hey.
There's 36. Don't be early chirping over there.
Chirp early, chirp often, early, baby. Early, chirp early and often.
All right. Okay, I'm going to read the pit crew's picks because Karina won't come on camera. They're going with Group B, Kyle Busch at plus 270. They're going Group C, William Byron at plus 400. They like Kyle Busch at minus 120 over Ryan Blaney. That's going to upset me because I have to do math when I have to figure out on the minus numbers if they get that right.
They're going
on the prop with Team Joe Gibbs race winner at plus 175 and taking Martin Truex Jr., to come in with the top three at plus 200.
I think they're chipping away. I like a lot of those picks. I do like the Joe Gibbs Racing. I do like the Martin. Now, they have a lot of eggs in the Joe Gibbs basket there with Kyle, Gibbs, and Martin. But I do like a couple of those picks.
Now, is this the new thing? Because you are winning every week that you get to analyze everybody else's picks? When did you start doing that?
Well, since I was up 7 to everybody's losing numbers. So isn't that the way this goes?
Something like that. All right. All right, my picks as I try to overcome you here. I'm taking Kevin Harvick to win, plus 600.
That's a good number.
I got to try to get up there and get a number. I like that plus 600 on him. I'm taking Brad Keselowski for a top three at plus 375. I don't really know why, but there's some reason I kind of like Brad there. Moving into the group matchups, I am riding with my man Kurt Busch. I like Kurt at plus 345 against that group in Group D. And I'm going to go with Matt DiBenedetto in Group E at a plus 260. I really like his mile-and-a-half program. Let's hope it carried over from 2020 into 2021. We'll see. And I'm moving over onto that race props, the team prop, too. I really like that. But I'm going to go with Team Penske at plus 400. I like having Logano, Keselowski, and Blaney all going for that number. Look, I know that Gibbs is the favorite, but I think the real number there is a higher number, and that's why I'm going that direction.
I can't knock those. I mean, I can, because I'm going to pick something completely different, but I can't knock it.
And I didn't ask your opinion anyway.
You did the show, so you're asking my opinion. I mean, you don't have to listen. So here's what I'm starting with. I'm going to start with the third week in a row, double-digit winner, the guy I've talked so much about. I'm going for a third week in a row with a first-time winner, and I'm going 22-1 on Tyler Reddick. I mean, I got a big lead on you guys, so if I can hit, you know, another big winner, and I think that Tyler can do it. So I'm starting off with him, and then I'm going to go into the top threes, and I'm going to jump on my guy Christopher Bell, riding that momentum, plus 700 for a top three. I like that. I think we can do something with that, and I think that he is going to ride that those things. Now, I wanted to go into that team race winner, but I got three group winners that I like way too much, and we're going to start with Group A, and I'm jumping on the Kyle Larson bandwagon. Even though he's going, I normally don't touch Group A. Normally Group A is a difficult one for me. But I think that Kyle Larson plus 270, I think this is where he's already started off strong. He's going to continue that trend. I'm sticking with Group B, and I am going Kevin Harvick to win Group B. I'm sorry, 250 on a Kevin Harvick to win, you know, to a four-man horse race. Too tough there. And then I'm going to give an homage to our man Ron Flatter and the Chris Buescher, Ron Flatter group. I'm going all the way down to Chris Buescher, plus 305 in Group F. I think that the ghost of Flatter and Chris Buescher will reign supreme for me, and I'll get a plus 305.
And you picked against Michael McDowell for the first time all
season. I did, and he's done. I thought he won last weekend. Goodness gracious, an eighth place finish for McDowell, and he didn't win his group. Come on.
What happens when the winner's in your group?
Yeah, I know. But so that is my foray this week.
All right, well, we've got about a minute left in the show this week. We've talked a lot about Homestead Miami Speedway. You know, we talked about the fact that we've had two long shot winners, first time winners. Michael McDowell, who was a 66-1 in the Daytona on the Super Speedway, and Christopher Bell, who was an 80-1 on the road course at Daytona. And you know, what do you think? I mean, you like Tyler Reddick.
I do. I do think Tyler Reddick can do something. I do think Kyle Larson could show his strength here after a good start to a season. I think that those chances are there. I think Christopher Bell could continue to do well. So I like a lot of the young, new names that we don't talk about all the time.
Well, and one of the things we talked about earlier, and I think this is something that the bettors really need to kind of keep in mind, is that this is a different Miami Homestead because we don't have the champions.
Championship four.
Right. And we know these guys typically like to get out of the way of the guys running for the playoffs. Nobody's getting out of anybody's way here. And we got some guys who got off to rough starts who've been struggling a little bit.
Then we head to your place next week.
That's right. Looking forward to it. When we come back next week on Gone Racing, we'll get to break down a little bit of the Miami Homestead, but then the Pennzoil 400 right here where we are in Las Vegas next week. See you next week.